long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart words of life, words of hope. They give us strength.
Well, welcome everyone to Sunday Morning with Robin Walter, part of the Red Sky Radio Network. Let me just say here, because I usually forget, that if you want to reach me, you may at redskyradio777@gmail.com. That's redskyradio777@gmail.com. I'm excited about this program today. I miss it when I, for some reason, can't be doing it, or I have to tape a couple messages in ahead because of a work schedule or travel schedule or something. But something happened just yesterday that triggered this message. And I love it when something happens I'm not looking for, I'm not planning for, but it crosses my path and it just hits me right smack dab in my spirit. Say, this is something that's got to be shared. ASAP. Pronto. Hop two. Or as my dad used to say, standing at the bottom of the stairs when he was calling us to go to work at the lumberyard, he'd stand there and say, let's go. Well, I don't know why he wouldn't just say, let's go. But anyway, let's go here. Okay? So in three of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the only three Gospels that spend any amount of time on the end times, the tribulation, the challenges. John doesn't really get into it. There's a few references to things that will happen, like one verse comments. You know, you'll be, you know, dragged before the synagogue and this and that, and that'll be kind of it. It'll move on to something else. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke spend some time on the end times, significant time. The very first thing Jesus says in each of those Gospels deals with warning us to not be deceived, to beware of false prophets and false teachers. So what does this tell you? If Jesus' opening remarks confirmed through these three Gospels, where he spends the time on the discourse about the end times, if the first thing he says is about deception, that should tell you that in the latter days, the deception shall be so unique, so sophisticated, so difficult to detect, that like it says in Revelation, if possible, the enemy would deceive the very elect. And some will get deceived. He's not saying it's not impossible. He's just saying if the devil can, he will deceive some. And with that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this message that you've placed on my heart. Deeply within my heart today, I pray that I bring forth only the things that are of you, Father, that you have shown me. Father, I pass them on to your flock for them to not just hear and listen, Father, but to incorporate, to be warned, to have their spiritual antenna raised to a level like never before, because we need it. It's going to be necessary. The necessity is upon us already. Father, I thank you for this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let me go through these three passages really quickly. I think you know them, but Matthew 24, verses 4 and 5, it says, well, the disciples had just said, well, hey, tell us what's going to happen here in the end times. What's going to be the sign of your coming? So he starts the end times discourse, which goes on for about a chapter and a half. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceives you. No man. No pastor. No podcast host. No politician. No neighbor. No son. No daughter. No spouse. No friends. No company. No boss. That no man deceive you. No man. And you look over to Mark, pretty much the same thing. He's not just parroting Matthew. It's not a case of, well, hey, he read Matthew and got some ideas. No, that's not the way it worked. Mark 13, 4 says, And Jesus answering them because they wanted to know what was going to happen in the later days. He says, take heed lest any man deceive you. Many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ. Well, they can deceive us without saying that they're the Christ. They can stop short of that. And then over in Luke, you might just want to write this down so you've got them. But in Luke 21:8, it says, and I quote, oops, I just lost my page here. It says, they asked Jesus, saying, Master, what shall the things be? What sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? And he said, well, take heed that you do not be deceived. Same thing. Three gospels, the same message, the same parting, or the same shot right off the bow of the discourse is don't be deceived. That is such a clear confirmation that the biggest tool in the enemy's tool belt will be deception. I don't think there's any question about it. And like I said, it's not really dealt with in John, so that's not any fault. It doesn't have to be in all four. It doesn't have to be in all three. But that it is in all three, and it's at the beginning of the discourse, is pretty meaningful because that tells me this is such a significant part of Satan's plot to deceive, as it says in Scripture, is said that he come out to deceive the very elect, if possible. Doesn't mean it's impossible. Just means that if he can do it, he's going to deceive them. And many will deceive, because the Scripture also says in the latter days, well, many that will turn against Christ. Turn against him. Why? To save their neck. So let me ask, what in the last 5, 6, 7 years has changed that has made this such an increasingly important thing to consider, to watch out for, to be prayerful about, and like I said in the prayer, to have your spiritual antenna raised to an all-time high to detect when you're being strung down the wrong road? What has changed? AI. AI is a game changer and an acceleration in the enemy's attempt to deceive. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't some legitimate purposes to AI. I'm not sure what they are because I don't understand it. Actually, it's not really artificial. It all comes from what man has put in. So it's not artificial, right? And it's not intelligence. This is just the production of something as a result of facts that have been put into it. So you can have bogus AI. I mean, there's some AI stuff that's come out that's been absolutely ridiculous and pathetic. AI, in the end, is garbage in and garbage out. But the fact of the matter is some garbage out come out could smell like prime rib. It could smell, well, it'll make it even better. It could smell like bacon. I love the smell of bacon. I love bacon. Not real good for me, but I love it. It could smell like, you know, freshly baked chocolate chip cookies made with Ghirardelli's 72% cocoa chocolate chips. Now you know what I buy. It could have all of that, and it's still plain fake. But it's worse than fake. It's deception. I mean, just consider all of the false narratives that are out there. I mean, you look at the stuff from Wikipedia, which is a lie factory for the most part. For some generic things like, you know, okay, how old was Mozart was when he played his first piano concerto? You'll probably get the right answer. But they were the ones that got called out they changed it, but they had referenced Israel as a Zionist conquering nation or something like that. Some ridiculous balderdash from the pit of hell. But AI is creating these false narratives. We have an increasingly difficult time to know what is true and not true at a secular level. Did we really take out all the nuclear facilities in Iran, or didn't we? Did we take out 30%? Did we take out 90%? Did we take them back 3 months? Have we set them back 3 years? It's hard to say. I mean, We also always say, well, consider the source. But even though we have a good government, I believe in Donald Trump, I have to always second guess the government. I just do. It's just part of it. That's number one. Number two, consider this is horrific. These young girls, 13, 14, 15, 16, most of them minors, but maybe 18 and 19, whose faces, attractive young girls, whose faces have been captured through their own texting or what have you, their Facebook pages, and then they are somehow lifted, and that face through AI is then joined with a nude body of another, of a woman, and now it goes out. And this girl's totally shamed because people believe that she's sexting or whatever that term is. This is horrible. Absolutely horrible. But there's something else that has occurred here in the last year that AI has facilitated that is so bad. And I only really, truly begin to grasp the depth of it yesterday. And that is making false apostles and false teaching look real. Well, now, how is it made to look real if you know something is false? I just say, well, Jesus wasn't the Son of God. He wasn't born of a virgin either. Well, then you just take somebody like, whatever, pick somebody, John MacArthur. He can't get at him now. He's dead. Though I respect the man, but I disagree with him significantly on a couple of theological things. But let's say they take John MacArthur's face, his head. They got his voice because of the 8 million sermons he's preached. And they have him preaching that. How about if they use Franklin Graham? You say, I can't believe Franklin Graham would say that. I mean, that's his face. That sounds like his voice, blah, 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 blah. And it isn't his voice. It's an AI voice. The way this came about, and this just startles me, I support various ministries, and I support various Jewish evangelistic messianic ministries. And one of them is Jonathan Cahn, and Hope for the World is his ministry out of New Jersey. And I was listening to him a couple of weeks, or maybe a couple of months ago, and he made the comment, just in passing, it didn't seem to bother him, how there are fake videos out there dealing with things that he supposedly said, which, of course, he did not. The message wasn't about that. He just said that briefly in passing. I said, well, that's interesting. I haven't really noticed that. I'll tell you, I'm kind of on top of things. I mean, I can't be not on top of things and even attempt to do the political program or this program. I'm not saying I'm on the top of everything. I miss things. There's things I haven't heard about, things I get wrong. Yeah, to err is human. Okay, I know that all too well. But when I was scrolling yesterday, I wanted to see a fresh Jonathan Cahn video. I've appreciated some of the things that he has said. He speaks to the culture. He speaks to the end times. He speaks to the restoration of the nation of Israel, his identification with the body of Christ consisting largely of Gentiles. He's one with whom I would love to just sit down and chat for about 6 hours. Or I'll take 6 minutes, if that's all I get. So I went on YouTube. And I'm scrolling through the YouTube section. You put in Jonathan Cahn, and you got all this stuff that popped up. Well, there are two things that popped up that really, really caught my eye. And I looked at them, and now this is on July 28th or something, I'm not sure. Well, it was yesterday. No, it was a couple days ago. But anyway, it said, one of them, a Jonathan Cahn teaching, 5 things that will happen by July 25th. 5 things that will happen. Well, July 25th had already passed me by, 2025, of course. It already passed me by several days. And I thought, oh my gosh, there's nothing significant that I know about that has happened in the last few days, much less five of them. Could Khan be getting this wrong? And I was rattled. And my wife said, wait a second, what is the source of that information? Well, I didn't watch the video, but I looked at who was responsible for putting out that video. And it wasn't Jonathan Khan Official. That's the name of something that his ministry has put out. There's something called Khan's Call, C-A-H-N, Khan's Call. It's not Jonathan Khan. I'll tell you how I ended up having to prove it to myself. I went on to something else that was even more bothersome, actually. And that was a message he had, supposedly, and it was entitled The Last Event to Occur Before the Rapture Has Just Happened. The last pre-rapture event has just happened. And I said, oh my gosh, is this guy drinking the Kool-Aid? Now, you've heard me before. There is no pre-trib rapture. Is there a rapture? Yes. I'm sick and tired of hearing churches. Sorry, I got a lot of friends. They do a lot of good job evangelizing, but Calvary Chapel couldn't be possibly more dead wrong on this issue. And if you'd like about 15 to 20 infallible proofs of that of their incorrectness, please order my book, The Rapture Revisited. Finally, a lawyer takes a look at end time events. Get the whole title in there. Don't worry about it. I make $3.23 off each issue that's sold, and it goes right straight into ministry. I don't pocket a dime. It's in there. It's irrefutable. And I know Khan is not a pre-trib devotee. He's not. And I was shocked. I said to my wife, oh my gosh, don't tell me he's fallen. Don't tell me he's drinking the Kool-Aid to be accepted by... No, he has not. So I went on that episode. I said, I got to see what he's saying here, because this is bothering me to no end. You know, to have a book that I've written, I believe it more every single day than the day before, that there is no pre-trib rapture. God could obviously show me to be wrong, and I'd be thrilled to be wrong. But it's a bunch of hocus pocus that comes out of a lot of these churches where, gosh, I can't go to a Calvary Chapel church. Sounds like I'm knocking them. I am on this topic. They are good in the evangelistic sense. They stand strong against the culture. I'm not here to beat up my brethren in the pulpit there, but it's hard for me to hear a message by him that somehow a pre-trib theme doesn't work its way into the message. Like he's got to continue to sell this thing to an uneasy, nervous Nelly congregation, and maybe including himself, he's got to keep saying it. I don't know. But I knew that Khan wasn't there. Khan was not, that's not where he is, nor any, with the exception of Perry Stone. I don't know of any Messianic Jew that's pre-trib. So, and Perry Stone is in Tennessee, which is basically a pre-trib state, which is a great state. Don't fault me for, I love Tennessee. Used to own property there. Was going to move there. Things changed. I didn't do it. But it's a great state. But I knew that to be false. So I turned it on, and what did I see? I didn't see anything. No. What I saw was just a picture of Khan, and it did not look exactly like him. There was something that was different in his forehead. And they just had text of him allegedly speaking, scrolling across the screen. Did it sound like him? Absolutely sounded like him. That's one of the things AI does the best. It can completely fabricate your voice so you almost, well, not maybe completely, but come so completely that an unsuspecting ear would never guess that it's somebody other than the proposed speaker who's actually speaking. But there was no video. And then I looked down, and it was by Conn's Call. And my wife said, see, it's not Jonathan Conn official. This is not coming from him. He spoke of this stuff that one time. I said, yeah, I know. But my gosh, it's just hard for me to believe how good this deception is. The high quality deception. So I checked out a couple of others. Then I went back to the one that I didn't look at, the five things that will happen by July 25th, which hadn't happened because I'm well past that. Same thing. I don't know if it was Conn's Call, but it was something other than Jonathan Conn official. And I said, boy, has the devil gotten sneaky here. I mean, it shouldn't be Conn's. The ones that aren't Jonathan Conn official should be called, not Conn's Call, it should be called Conn Job. Because they're trying to con you, false apostles, false prophets, into believing this is Jonathan Conn, who is so highly regarded, has kind of walked the plank on some issues. And but what I found interesting, breaking this down into two particular fabrications and separate deceptions from different sources. The five things that were supposed to happen by July 25th that didn't happen were designed by persons inside or maybe outside the church. Could be Jewish rabbis who are not messianic. It could be, well, they hate him because of the following he's developing among Jews. Same thing why the Pharisees and the Sadducees hated Jesus. Hey, we're losing our crowd. We got to kill this guy. We got to talk badly about him because we're losing our power, our influence, our prestige, and our perks because of this guy. It could be coming from them. And to do what? To say, well, look, Jonathan said this, five things are going to happen, and none of them happen. He's obviously a false prophet. And you know what they say in the Testament. You got a false prophet that says that God told you to do this. Stone the guy. That could happen inside the church, but I tend to think that that's outside the church. Now, no one on the outside, and including non-messianic rabbis, none of them on the outside would take the time to prepare a fake message about Conn doing the last event that has taken place that will precede the rapture, inducing people to believe that the rapture could occur at any time, which it cannot. There are a number of events that have to occur before it, which have not occurred. The whole thing is a lie. It is deception from the get-go. And this, I have to believe, is done inside the church. Because Jonathan Conn having an impact, there have been a few other pastors, teachers who are not pre-trib. They don't get much ink. If they have churches, they're small. There's no denomination that supports a mid or a post-trib rapture, kind of where I am, and I think Conn is too. They're not out there. But there's not a church that is as big and influential as Conn is to make that point. So, who has launched this? Who's created the AI? It's somebody or some people or some group or some church or some denomination that so hates the fact that his teaching is unraveling one of their core precepts and misconceptions and deceptions, though I'm going to say, or you will give most of these people credit to truly believe they have it right. But truly believing you have it right doesn't mean you aren't wrong. They are wrong. But now you get into pride, turf battle. Gosh, what if I lose my church because people find out I've been preaching this pre-trib rapture thing forever and I'm totally lost. I'm gone on this issue. It's not true. And it's out. Because why? Because there's some guys like Jonathan Conn who's got a big church, who's got a bigger message than my book, which is a small market book, is warning, telling, and teaching people the truth. This is from inside the so-called church. A deception from within by those who, like maybe the Pharisees and the Sadducees, have a turf battle to protect. It's a turf battle. They got ground to protect. Whether it's pride, loss of influence. I don't know. You know, you can come up with whatever reasons. Doesn't really matter because I don't know the exact reason. Except that this kind of AI deception is not anything that would occur outside of the so-called confessing Christian church. Doesn't mean that there aren't people in that church that are true confessing Christians, but they're those with an ulterior motive. They got another message. They got an agenda. And doggone it, we're going to slam and jam this pre-trib thing down people's throat till they're ready to hurl with it. But they're going to think that believe that it's absolutely true when it isn't. So, how do I wrap this up? Turn to Acts 20. Acts 20. And I made the comment here that these two deceptions, distinct deceptions, which one I think is from the outside, maybe from non-messianic Jews or rabbis, or possibly, I don't know, like the Pharisees and Sadducees of old are trying to protect their turf battle against this guy Jesus. Or in the case of the pre-trib advocates in certain churches and denominations are as afraid of this Jewish rabbi, Rabbi Kahn, as a rabbinical priesthood was in Jerusalem a couple thousand years ago, afraid of Jesus. They're going to lose their power, their prestige, their influence. Lo and behold, maybe their pride, if they're absolutely wrong on this thing. So one is from outside the church, I believe. One is distinctly from inside the so-called confessing church. So why does this matter? So going to, as I mentioned, the book of Acts. And if you turn to chapter 20, something pretty amazing here, chapter 20. Here's Paul. He said, take heed to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church. For I know this, that after my departing shall come grievous wolves entering in among you, not sparing the flock. Those are the ones trying to enter in. They're from the outside. But he goes, and also of your own selves, meaning from within the church, shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. From within. I looked at these two AI things, one which I believe is distinctly from the outside, the other one which is distinctly from the inside, and I go to Acts 20 and I find out there are those who are trying to come in from the outside to lead away and distract and mislead the disciples, and then there are those who from their own selves, from within, shall arise to attempt to deceive and lead them astray. And yes, the deception grows worse. Every time you turn on anything, ask the Lord, Father, show me, teach me, Holy Spirit, instruct me whether these are words of truth or I'm being deceived. Then go be Berean and check it out in the Word.
Sunday Morning with Robin Walter is a listener-supported program. Our mission is to prepare the saints not to just survive, but thrive in the end times through preparation, warning, instruction, and encouragement. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
Well, you've heard the Word. Now act on it. Hey, God bless you. See you next week. I sure appreciate your support. Thank you so much.